Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You can always give me a follow and shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter or on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing at Zach Gelb. That's ZACHGELB. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. We are looking for Bryant McFadden. Hopefully, he will honor his commitment and stop by at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific in an hour from now. Because on Saturday, when I was just minding my own business, working out in the gym, on the elliptical, getting a little workout in before a big college football slate, Bryant McFadden did an Instagram Live. And I'm on the elliptical, so I hopped on the Instagram Live. And I'm just in the chat room, minding my own business, just being Zach Gelb on the elliptical. And Bryant McFadden started running his mouth about the Pittsburgh Steelers with their quarterback, Mitch Trubisky. And as I predicted, 2-1, Bryant McFadden, Mitch Trubisky was going to do what he's done for most of his career. Disappoint. And when I heard the Steelers fans yesterday chanting, "Kenny, Kenny, we want Kenny," it was music to my ears. And then we also had a glorious football Sunday. Patriots win. Nice to get in the win column finally. I'm not all that optimistic, though, about my football team. What else am I missing? Oh, all the games that went down in the AFC North were just stellar. And you had another crazy comeback with the Raiders blowing a 20-point lead to the Cardinals. I could not believe that one. And, I'm forgetting something. Oh, by the way, producing the extravaganza today is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know about that Hot Take Hickey.
I don't know if I want that drop, Hickey. Do you have the Leroy Horde drop? Do you have that in the system real quickly? Producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
His dumb producer, Hot Take Hickey.
Oh, we'll get to Ryan later. And I see right now Ryan Hot Take Hickey is wearing a shirt. And it says, "Fire Frank," as the Indianapolis Colts, who have not got a victory in Jacksonville since 2014, the remarkable losing streak continues. Now, I'll give credit to Ryan. He didn't think his team was going to win. I thought that was an intentional mush. And you know what we say whenever you try to intentional mush? It does not work out. But to not even score against a team that had the number one overall draft pick. You thought last year was embarrassing, how you missed the playoffs by losing in Jacksonville. This is even worse. To get blanked 24 to nothing. Matt Ryan throwing three interceptions. The offensive line horrendous. The defense awful. Wide receivers that some couldn't even make a JV roster in high school right now. It was pathetic what I saw from the Indianapolis Colts. So I'll save my Colts takes. So about 40 minutes from now, and we'll have Hot Take Hickey address his pathetic, awful football team. But I'll give you one right off the bat. Frank Reich deserves to be fired. And Jim Irsay is not doing his job as an NFL owner and has lost something off his fastball, if he ever had anything on it, if he continues to allow that man to coach a football team after they tied to the Texans and then coming off a tie, that coach really motivated the troops to a 24-0 loss. We got to start off, though, in the AFC North. If just the games that were played in the AFC North yesterday was our football Sunday, it would have been one of the more wild NFL Sundays that you've ever seen. All throughout the week, and I've been terrible at picking games this year. Up against Mraz, I really got to go to Temple this week and go find God this week to try to change my picks around because I'm 0-6. 0-6 in my picks up against Mraz. Now, Mraz hasn't been that much better, but he is winning. He has two victories on the season, so he is 2-4. But one that he got was the Baltimore Ravens as he had the Dolphins plus the 3.5 points. And all throughout the week, I stayed away from that game. But all throughout the week, I heard everyone say Dolphins, 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 plus the 3.5 points. And I disagreed with it. And when that game entered the fourth quarter and Lamar Jackson had a 79-yard rushing touchdown towards the end of the third quarter, turn out the lights, the party's over, start the Lamar Jackson MVP campaign. Start making comparisons to the contract situation of Lamar Jackson to Aaron Judge. And I still think it could be similar throughout the year where Lamar Jackson's going to dominate. But that game was over at 35-14, and the takes were already starting to build up. Bashing the Dolphins, overrated in week one. Mike McDaniel's not all that. Tua Tagovailoa's a bust. That's what all the takes were about to be today. And then in the fourth quarter, as the Ravens enter that fourth quarter with a 35-14 lead, we saw not one, not two, not three, but four fourth quarter touchdown passes from Tua Tagovailoa. That is an embarrassing, awful, pathetic loss by the Baltimore Ravens. And I don't even know if it was the worst loss of Sunday. I really don't. And I'll give credit to the Dolphins. Dolphins are 2-0. They now have my attention. I've been pessimistic about them. I'm still not a big-time believer in Tua. Mike McDaniel, he's impressed the first two games. I want to see what he does throughout an entire season. But even someone that's been skeptical of the Dolphins, I can't admit, beating New England and then being down like that up against the Ravens yesterday, they're starting to earn respect. Now, I'm not going to tell you they're locked to make the playoffs. I told you the whole offseason, I got to see it to believe it. I'll still say that. But that defense, I know they were not good yesterday, but that defense is really good in my opinion. And offensively, speed kills. And it just shows you, even when you dig yourself into that deep of a hole, when you have guys like Tyreek Hill, when you have guys like Jaylen Waddle, they make good defenses like the Baltimore Ravens look like they don't have a damn clue what to do. That Miami team, they have a huge game this weekend up against the Buffalo Bills. Bills play tonight on Monday Night Football up against Tennessee. And you also do have the Eagles hosting the Minnesota Vikings. So two excellent Monday Night Football games. But that Bills game really will assess the lay of the land in the AFC East. Because sure, the Pats are 1-1, Jets are 1-1. I don't think those teams are all that great this year. The Dolphins, though, have really earned a lot of people's trust through the first 2 weeks and their attention through the first 2 weeks. And if they could go beat Buffalo next week, and let's see what happens tonight with Buffalo, Gabe Davis isn't going to play. If they could go 3-0, then I think the opinions really start to escalate and get to a different level and a different type of way with the Miami Dolphins. But even though you would think a team blowing a 35-14 lead in the fourth quarter would be the best comeback of the day, there was also two other insane comebacks and almost another one as the Atlanta Falcons, who were down 28-3, almost came back to beat the Rams, and you had Jalen Ramsey save the bacon. We'll get into later on in the show the Raiders blowing a 20-0 lead up against the Arizona Cardinals. But I think the most impressive, and I don't know if you want to be involved in this way of praise or criticism, I think the most impressive choke job yesterday was actually the Cleveland Browns. Now, not impressed in a good way, but you're up 13 points with under 2 minutes to go. You know, at least the Baltimore Ravens, if you're trying to justify their choke, is going up against a team that has a life and some hope this year in the Miami Dolphins. The Browns are going up against Joe Flacco and the Jets. And you have Joe Flacco finding Corey Davis and then Garrett Wilson, who's a stud, for his second touchdown of his career and the second touchdown of the game. Now, there's some people that are very critical of Nick Chubb. Oh, why didn't he go down? He put the team up by 13. I know Cade York missed the extra point. None of that stuff should have been the reason why the Cleveland Browns lost the game. But the Browns did lose the game as they just stopped playing defense. It's almost as if once they went up by 13, they just said, "Up, oh, it's over, it's the Jets." And the Jets, Undertaker, gift them, and they rise from the dead to get to 1-1, which is just bonkers. So Cleveland now at 1-1 on the season, they blew a 13-point lead to the Jets with under 2 minutes to go. That was mystifying. That was stunning. I still can't even comprehend how that did go down. And he even recovered an onside kick. Think about that. We'd say that all the time in the NFL. It's impossible now to cover an onside kick. Don't tell that to the New York Jets. Holy smokes. And then you get to the Steelers and the Bengals. Steelers, they leave the door open for the Pats. Everyone that was ready to write the obituaries in the Pats last week. You could hold off another week. I still don't think this is a playoff team in New England. But the Patriots defense did a nice job yesterday up against Mitch Trubisky. Nelson Aguilar finally caught a football. Cole Strange looked good, and everyone was saying that was a strange draft pick. He dominated Cam Hayward. And we know that Damian Harris is a good running back in this league. For Pittsburgh, you're though now in this cycle of you shouldn't be starting Mitch Trubisky. I know that offensive line is horrible in Pittsburgh, but there's no upside because Mitch Trubisky is just not a good quarterback. It'd be one thing if you had a really damn good quarterback right now. And that's why you're delaying Kenny Pickett from taking over. Like when Rodgers was in Green Bay, Brett Favre was there. He's a Hall of Famer. In this case, Mitch Trubisky is a backup quarterback in this league. So go to the youngster. I don't think they'll do so in a short week up against Cleveland. But regardless of that game, I would then start in week four up against the Jets. So the Steelers, they leave the door open for New England. We'll see what New England does the next 2 weeks. That will be telling, as they do have the next 2 weeks, the Ravens and the Green Bay Packers. I'm not all optimistic that the Patriots are going to get two wins there or a win at all. And then finally, this was a stunner as well. We had a lot of stunning performances on a second football Sunday of the year. Cooper Rush with the Dallas Cowboys. No Dak Prescott. Line stinks. Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. This was an easy bounce-back win, right, for the Cincinnati Bengals. After their loss last week to Pittsburgh, where they got dominated to start the game, then they missed that extra point, Micah Fitzpatrick with the block. They lose the game in overtime. This was a lock. I think a lot of people probably had them in their survivor pool, I would imagine. And Cincinnati's revamped offensive line that we thought could not get any worse in the offensive line that they put out there last year, maybe worse this year to start the season. Now, I would be optimistic with the money that they spent, even though we haven't seen it, that eventually Lael Collins, Alex Kappa, and Ted Karras are going to start playing like the way that they've played in the past for the Patriots, the Dolphins, the Buccaneers, and the Cowboys, where those three linemen have jumped around the NFL. I would think they would start to play better. You can't get any worse, or so we thought. But Joe Burrow is going to get killed if they don't sack up quickly. Because that, it looks like Joe Burrow playing quarterback and that offensive line in front of him looks like a turnstile in Penn Station pre-COVID. It is wild what you're seeing. And when I watch Joe Burrow, who is a great player, and he does sometimes, when he does have time, hold on to the ball too long, which is crazy to me with the weapons that you have. And I know Diggs did a nice job up against Jamar Chase yesterday. You also have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd. But when I watch Joe Burrow, unfortunately, the first thing I think about, sorry, Ryan, to do this to you, I know it's a rough day for you, is Andrew Luck. Because Andrew Luck, at all the talent in the world, was supposed to be this transcendent great quarterback, and injuries derailed his career. We've already seen Joe Burrow have a torn ACL. He will not get through this season if they don't start to protect him better. So a nice win yesterday for the Cowboys. Now this sets up for a Monday Night Football game next week. Cowboys and the Giants. And the Giants are somehow 2-0. And you got to give a lot of credit to Brian Daboll. What was your biggest impression from this past NFL Sunday? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. When we return on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, Kyler Murray finally showed up to this football season and a historically bad loss for the Raiders. We'll get into all that when we come on back.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Rally Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And two in the Dolphins showed up in that fourth quarter. They were down 35-14, and then Tua had four fourth-quarter passing touchdowns. By the way, I feel like it's my responsibility today with how many tweets I'm getting at Zach Gelb to just do some checks on some people, some wellness checks, some may say. Because Slick Reynolds on Twitter, he's kind of going after you, Hickey. He said, ready for heat on Hickey, that ridiculous Colts apologist. I'll be disappointed if an entire segment isn't devoted to it. Now, that tweet could be a little bit mean, but I did get a lot of tweets yesterday when the Indianapolis Colts failed to show up in Jacksonville again. Make sure Hickey shows up to work on Monday. Make sure Hickey shows up to work on Monday. Hickey is here. You will hear from him coming up in about 20 minutes. I also just got a tweet from Matthew Wilson, who is Matthew 41801548, if you're keeping score at home on Twitter. And this one, Ryan, I don't want people to hear your voice yet because I want the first words you say today to be at 640. But I think you will get a little chuckle out of this, and maybe it will just enhance your spirits today since you're down in the dumps. Zach, on the subject of wellness checks, we need one from Jay in Alaska. And he is absolutely right, and that just got a big smile and a laugh out of Hot Take Hickey because Jay in Alaska is a huge Las Vegas Raiders fan. Said to me that they're easily going to win 12 games this year and probably going to go to the Super Bowl. And that Derek Carr is an elite quarterback in this league. Well, they were up 20-0 yesterday. Game was over, right? Could flip the channel and that's it. Cardinals with no DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, and as Lee Corso would say, not so fast. That was the largest blown lead in the history of the Raiders franchise. Which is kind of tough to believe that it's only 20 points. You know, go get three touchdowns, but we'll get into that game in just a second. Talking about wellness checks, 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Chris in Chicago. I guess you were prepared for this moment because the Bears, I know they got a nice win last week up against the 49ers, but the Packers own the Bears. But Chris, is everything okay as we continue to do wellness checks around the NFL today?
Hey, Zach. Look, I'll give it to you straight. I'm a Chiefs fan, but I want the Bears to do well. Somebody living in Chicago, I cheer for them every year. I just want to see what they can do. But, man, that fourth and goal call to do shotgun Justin Fields, David Montgomery's not on the field. I don't understand it.
Fourth and goal at the one. Let's remind everyone. Right. Fourth and goal at the one, and you elect to put your quarterback 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage and snap it and then directly run. That does not make sense to me why you would put yourself 5 yards further from where you need to actually go. So,
yeah.
Well, we appreciate the phone call, Chris, by the way. Yeah, he called in last week saying he was a Bears fan. Now he's a Chiefs fan all of a sudden, Hot Take Hickey? Well, I don't want to hear your voice yet. But I would assume that maybe he grew up in Kansas City, then moved to Chicago. Well, why the heck would you then start rooting for the Bears? I guess at the time, you're thinking, oh, the Chiefs absolutely stink. I don't know how old he is. Well, why would you go to the Bears? Maybe when he first moved there, Lovie Smith was the head coach and Rex Grossman was leading them to the Super Bowl. But right now, if I was a Chiefs fan, I would not even claim the Chicago Bears, even as like the stepchild in my family. I would want no acknowledgement that you are a Bears fan whatsoever, or you'd like to see the Bears do well. But that game, I know at that point, it would have made it a little bit closer. It would have made it 24-17. There was no shot the Chicago Bears were going into Lambeau Field last night with the Packers coming off a loss and winning that football game. Aaron Jones was really damn good. Rodgers was good enough. You saw Sammy Watkins have a pulse on the field. But the Bears just don't have enough talent right now. I know they won last week. I don't like to say because of weather, but it was because of the rain. When you went into Lambeau Field, they were hoping it was going to rain again. And it looked like the weather was going to be bad earlier in the day, and it ended up not being the case. All righty, let's get into this Cardinals-Raiders game. I'm asking myself, and I'll ask it to you, what are you more impressed by? Or what stood out to you more? Were you more impressed by the comeback of the Cardinals, or were you more disappointed in the Raiders? And I was actually more impressed by the comeback of the Arizona Cardinals. I know when that game gets into overtime, Derek Carr, there was a fumble, then Carr should have thrown a pick, and then Renfro did fumble it again. And then this time it was picked up by the Cardinals, and they take it the distance. And also, Murphy Jr.'s got to hold on to that football. Because Byron Murphy, that was wild. He almost dropped that football before he crossed the goal line, which would have just been a crazy range of emotions. If you thought you were going to go win the game and then you fumble it out of the back of the end zone, I don't get why players just don't fully. I know it's the emotions and the exuberance and it's mayhem that did go down, but I don't get in that spot why you don't make sure you're in the end zone before you get rid of the football. It does not make sense to me. So before I actually give you the answer, and are you were more impressed by the Cardinals and explain it, why I'm more impressed by the Cardinals comeback than disappointed in the Raiders choke, I want to play you this right now. Ion Football, I get 8 hours each and every Sunday to go stadium to stadium and react to all the games. There's never been a time where after 8 hours, we have not been able to get all the games in from the 1 o'clock window and the 4 o'clock window. While Ion Football was ending yesterday, I thought I was handing it over to Jody Mack to give Jody Mack the rest of this game in overtime because I was out of time. I was there for 8 hours. I'm not sticking around any longer. It was not happening. 8 hours is long. I was not sticking around for a second after the 8 hours. So Jody was about to then take over the show. The music is coming up, as you know, at the end of the hour. It always does. And that's when the fumble by Renfro happened. And we know that Byron Murphy Jr. scooped it up and took it the distance. This is how it sounded on Ion Football. And we're in one of these kind of predicaments here, Jody, which has never happened to me in Ion Football, where it looks like with a minute left. I remember last year when the music was fading, we had a walk-off touchdown in a Buffalo-Tampa game where I believe it was Brashad Perriman who had the game-winning score, but it was definitely a Tampa touchdown as the show was ending. It does not look like we're going to get the final result here between the Cardinals and the Raiders. The Raiders have the ball, and the Raiders almost threw an interception, and on the play before, they did fumble the ball, but they recovered it. It's going to be a 2nd and 10 for Derek Carr as they are on the Cardinals' 38-yard line. So you got to do some heavy lifting here for the next 2 hours.
Not a problem. I can cover you.
Oh, my God. They're picking it up. They're running down the sideline. The Arizona Cardinals are going to win the football game. Right on cue. I thought Jody Mack was going to have to talk about this game for the next 2 hours, but we get it in on the final 30 seconds of Ion Football. Boom. Cardinals win. 29-23. You had a fumble, then almost threw a pick, then there was a fumble, and the Cardinals pick it up and put the dagger in the Las Vegas Raiders for week two. They're 0-2. Oh my! Renfro fumbles picked up by the Cardinals, and it is a touchdown. We'll see if it's gonna stand, but we'll talk to you next week. Jody Mack coming up next for the next 2 hours.
Ion Football on CBS Sports Radio.
And that's how the show ended. And if I remember last year, and I said it, I don't know how I referenced in the moment, we were in like the final minute and a half, and something similar happened where it was a Brashad Perriman, I went back and looked at a touchdown in that crazy game between the Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills. But that one was literally in the final few seconds of the show. But if you're the Raiders, you're up 20-0 at halftime. You have to win that game, especially with all the weapons that you do have on the offensive side of the ball. So, yes, you could be severely disappointed if you're a Raiders fan, and you should be. But if I had to pick, am I more impressed by the Cardinals' comeback or disappointed by the Raiders' collapse? I'm more impressed by the Cardinals' comeback. You give all that money to Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is supposed to be your franchise quarterback. That team does not have DeAndre Hopkins. They have a bunch of injuries to start off the season. And for the Cardinals to be down 20-0, and then the way that those plays happen, like the Murray 2-point conversion, was just absolutely sick. And that's one of those games where you look at Kyler Murray, and I still think the jury's out if he is a franchise quarterback. But when he then becomes Superman in a spot like that, and he puts the team on his back with on the cusp of starting off the year 0-2 and then going to play the Rams the next week. So you probably then would have started off 0-3. That was a remarkable and I mean a remarkable comeback by Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, just to see how many crazy plays with this back up against the wall he was able to create. Now, the Raiders got problems. The Raiders' offensive line is horrendous. We talked to K.J. Wright last week, and K.J. Wright said that offensive line has problems, and Carr really needs to start moving more because he has the legs to do so. But to lose that game when you have all that talent on that team and you're up 20 to nothing, it's stunning. But as equally as stunning is the way that the Cardinals came back without their best player in DeAndre Hopkins. And that's because of what Kyler Murray did. That's why you paid Kyler Murray, and it's up to Kyler Murray in the next few years to show you that he's not just a good quarterback, that he's a great quarterback. And he had no answer. The Cardinals had no answer against the Chiefs in week one when Mahomes throws 5 touchdowns. It looked like it was going to be another miserable performance. Why'd you extend Murray? Why'd you extend Cliff Kingsbury? Why'd you extend Steve Keim? And Kyler Murray saved that organization from getting blasted today. There's no doubt about it. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let me take Matt in North Carolina next up on CBS Sports Radio. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I think everybody's already jumping off that Panthers playoff train. this start of the season, I don't see Rhule coming out of this. The only way he stays the coach the whole season is if they're tanking to get one of those quarterbacks next year, because they just lost to Jacoby Brissett and Daniel Jones.
Can't happen.
It's uninspiring. It's uninspiring as those guys are, they were the better quarterback than Baker.
Yeah, Baker has not played well. That team right now is a disaster. Not that they should have definitely started the year off 2-0, because the Cardinals, the Panthers have lost a ton of close games, as you know, through the last few years. But when you have the easier part of your schedule in the first two games up against Jacoby Brissett and Daniel Jones, and I know that they just absolutely got their hearts ripped out with 2 long field goals, but that's besides the point. The starts to those games have been horrible. We know with the bad start last week, and they showed some light in the second life in the second half, so maybe there was some optimism after the loss to the Browns. If you wanted to sell me that, be my guest. But to fumble the football twice right out of the gate was absolutely abysmal up against the Giants.
No, the luck of their defense showed up and kept them in the game. But, I mean, by the end of that game, the defense was just tired. They couldn't.
But you know what, Matt? That defense, that was probably the strength of this team entering this season with what they showed at times last year. That defense doesn't have a turnover through the first two games, and you're going up against Jacoby Brissett and Daniel Jones. Now, that's unbelievable. It's one thing if Baker makes a mistake. It's one thing if you put the ball on the turf. How that defense, which on paper should be a good defense, can't get a turnover through the first two games against Daniel Jones and Jacoby Brissett. That's problematic. And I said it yesterday. It was a must-win. A must-win for the Panthers, and they didn't win. Now their next three games, Saints up against Jameis with the bad back, Cardinals, who just had that comeback, and now 49ers, who will be starting Jimmy Garoppolo the rest of the season because Trey Lance is done for the year. Those three games, those teams, none of them are great teams, but they're better than what you are. So now you really dug yourself into a hole at 0-2. We'll see what they do the next 3 weeks. But then after that, you have the Rams and the Buccaneers. So you better go win all three. You know, I said to start the year, you got to get one out of the first two. But now since you lost both, you have to then go beat the Saints, the Cardinals, and the 49ers. And I just have not seen any consistency in a positive way from the Panthers to suggest that it's a possibility they could go win 3 in a row. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we start the Fire Frank campaign on CBS Sports Radio. Frank Reich, gotta go.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Give us a call so I don't have to deal with Zach in this segment. That's a basically hot take Hickey just told you coming back from break with that liner. What are you, trying to run from what's going to occur here in the next 15 minutes on CBS Sports Radio? Nice to see you show up to work. I know that you were not confident, and you said, I will give you credit. This is the first time I'll be happy saying these words to you. You were right. You were right. You told me last week, Zach, The Colts aren't going to win. Jaguars are going to find a way to get the job done. This is a Colts team that has not won in Jacksonville since 2014. They are not going to win. They have no shot of winning again. I'm like, no shot. Come on. You're trying to intentionally mush them. Not only were you right, though, now you can't even be happy about being right, because down deep, that just twists and turns your heart. And the dagger just gets deeper and deeper and deeper, because I don't care what the Colts do the rest of the year. This division stinks. The Jaguars, I know they beat you yesterday 24-0, but they're not a great football team. The Texans don't have a quarterback. Tennessee doesn't have a quarterback as well. This is just abysmal. Not yet. I said it to you last week, and you laughed at me that 9-8 was going to win this division. But after yesterday, I'm going to shut up. The floor is yours. I just got to hear how you handle this. I'll sit here in silence. Go ahead.
Number one, I told you so. Number two, to all the tweeters out there that are expecting Zach to rake me over the coals and think this is going to be a bad Monday. Number one, I went down to Auburn, watched Penn State kick the crap out of Auburn. So you know what? My weekend has been made. Number two, I told you this was happening. I told you this game was going to happen. Now, I will say, I was still surprised at just the dominance. I thought the Colts would at least, you know, show up to the game. I mean,
they didn't have a pulse.
The field. So I will say that was extremely depressing. But it's not like I was shocked the Colts lost the Jaguars.
Oh, come on. You were shocked 24-0.
That's what I just said. Yeah. They're going to show up. I thought it was going to be like a 2017 close game. They're just going to lose. They got dominated in every single aspect.
Now, I'm having a hearing problem today. My left ear is clogged a little bit. So just one more time. The Colts lost 24-0. Was that right?
To the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Yes, sir. But
wow.
You know what? Next year, I don't even want to play that game. Give them the L. Save the team. The flight, save the gas, you know, save Jim Irsay some of the money to fly him down. They just take the L. It's a bye week. Second bye week.
Let's be real. You could probably save some gas by just not letting Frank Reich on the flight back, because there's a lot of dead weight on that plane back yesterday.
All right. Can we just say this?
Frank Reich sucks.
Frank Reich.
He is not a good NFL head coach. He's overrated. We had a big debate. You tried to tell me top 10 coach. And I laughed in your face. Frank Reich is not a good NFL head football coach. He is overrated. I know you're going to tell me he got dealt a bad hand, whatever the freaking saying is. I can never get that saying right. That's like my Mraz-ism on this show. But he's just not ever been given a great quarterback. I get that. The one that they had, unfortunately, you had the old GM, Ryan Grigson, just mess him up. But the bottom line is, Jacksonville last year, you lose with your guy, Carson Wentz, and then you go back there week two, you have to win that game. That's the bottom line. You have to win that game. And that's a dude that can't get his football team to show up in that spot against a pathetic football team. And I don't want to hear any other Eagle fan. When there was Eagles fans, when I lived in Philadelphia, oh, Super Bowl 52 was more Frank Reich than Doug Peterson. Baloney. Doug Peterson took a dump on Frank Reich yesterday. It's embarrassing. All right, you can continue. But Frank Reich should be fired.
He should be fired at the end of the year if things go south the way they're going. Right now, he absolutely should not be fired. And right now, he deserves the benefit of the doubt because, unlike what you think, he's still a good head coach. This has been a very slow start.
What makes you believe that he's a good head coach this year? That he's going to be a good head coach this year after last year getting his guy, Carson Wentz, that he advocated for, and Carson Wentz blew up in his face on a big spot. Now you have Matt Ryan. Other than Michael Pittman, I know he didn't play yesterday. You don't have wide receivers on this team. I don't care that your podcast talked to whoever the kid was from Cincinnati that was, what, a second-round draft pick?
Who didn't even play yesterday.
I know, but they don't have enough skill position players outside of Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman.
I agree.
And that's not enough to win a championship in this league or be a great team. And I've told you this for years. The Colts are just a good team, but they're not a great team. And they need to show some aggressiveness in their offseason approach. And another, another wasted offseason for your Indianapolis
Colts.
And
that's not on Frank Reich. I would agree. That's on Chris Ballard. He really let down this team because
the, but if this guy's such a great coach, shouldn't he get the most out of his own guys?
He's trying to get the most out of them. Well, everyone is to blame. I'm not saying Frank Reich is had a good... He's been terrible
stinks.
This year.
It's Jacksonville and the Texans.
He's been terrible.
All right, forget about the Jaguars. That is your kryptonite. You can't beat them in Jacksonville. What about last week? This is the Texans. Russell Wilson as Nathaniel Hackett, and Russell Wilson was playing like crap, and they still beat the Texans. And you guys were down 20-3 to that team?
They were. I'm not telling you.
That's
this is
inconceivable that they're 0-1-1 now.
Yeah.
It's inconceivable.
Stink.
That's on the coach.
Yeah, the start is absolutely on the coach. This start is on the coach and the GM, without a doubt. It's on Chris Ballard and Frank Reich's shoulders the most. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. They deserve it. We've seen the Colts, maddeningly enough, get off to slow starts and have come back and catch fire. I think they deserve that right to fight their way out of this slow start. Otherwise, like I said, I fire them at the end of the year. That's one place where I will say I was wrong in terms of coming into the year. I didn't think there was much heat. So far, this has gone basically as bad as you could have gotten so far the first two games.
So if they go 8-9 and make the playoffs because the AFC South stinks, you're bringing back Frank Reich?
Probably not. Not an 8-9.
How about 9-8? Difference of one game. Does that do anything for
Probably
you?
Probably not.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, if this is...
And you know they're going to lose to Kansas City this week, right? Now, you're the prognosticator when it comes to Colts football. But that game is in a dome. It is in Indianapolis. Peyton's Place. Lucas Oil Stadium. They're going to get destroyed this week by Mahomes.
Yeah.
You would think. And they're extra rested, Kansas City, because they played on Thursday. Your season... Man... you got to think they'll split either Tennessee or Denver.
You would think, but right now they can't even beat the Jaguars or the Texans.
You're looking at a 1-4 start.
Probably, yeah. This team looks terrible.
Or a 1-3 start. One and four
team
start
looks
after
very
5 weeks.
Bad.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, this is a bad football team.
Yeah. It's what we've been talking about. The left tackle stinks. The receivers are awful outside of Michael Pittman Jr. The defensive line. They put money into it. They can't. I mean, Trevor Lawrence could have taken a nap yesterday. Could have got the snap, laid down, put his head on the football. I like to take a 20-minute power nap personally. I feel like find a little more rejuvenation, like a 2-hour nap.
Yeah, Frank Reich took a nap the entire game.
Well, he did. The defensive line, I mean, let Trevor Lawrence take a nice 20-minute power nap. Wake up. There's Christian Kirk. There's, Zay Jones. There's James Robinson looking like James Robinson from 2019 or 2020, whenever he came into the league. They're bad. They're really bad right now. The offensive line can't block anyone, by the way.
You know what? That could be the biggest problem.
The offensive line is the biggest problem.
For years, we praised Indianapolis in the last, excuse me, not for years because the lack of offensive line got Andrew Luck killed. But for the last 2 to 3 years, when they've trotted in whoever the quarterbacks may be, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, now Matt Ryan, we said, the Colts have a good offensive line. This offensive line now is majorly flawed. Where even Jonathan Taylor, who's a beast on his own, but he's not going to be the Jonathan Taylor that we all love, even behind this slop of an offensive line. You guys got problems. And the only saving grace for that overrated coach, Frank Reich, who should be fired, is the AFC South stinks. Andy in Chicago, next up on CBS Sports Radio. Andy, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Zach? Huge Colts fan here.
My condolences.
Right. I remember growing up in the Peyton Manning days, and they were fantastic, let me tell you. It was devastating when he got cut, and looked like we had the answer with Andrew Luck. And, just that idiot Gregson did not protect him with the offensive line. He retires, yada, yada, yada. We go into Jacoby Brissett, and we seem to kind of play okay football. But to not go down to Clowntown Jacksonville since 2014 and win a football game is absolutely unacceptable. I think Frank Reich, I think Chris Ballard both need to get on out of there. On Thursday, I saw Chuck Pagano on the Pat McAfee show for 50 minutes break down Chargers and Chiefs film.
It was electric.
And I know that he's doing a better job than Frank Reich, and I think we should have kept Chuck Pagano. I don't understand why we're shelling out all this money for Quentin Nelson to protect who? Matt Ryan? Like, what are we doing? As a Colts fan, I'm frustrated. I've had enough. And, Ursay wanted, he said we're going to win multiple Super Bowls in this decade. We'll be lucky if we have a 10-win season in this decade.
Oh, you maybe only got a 10-win season in this decade. This was a team that was 9-8 last year, and then the year before that they were 11-5. So I'm not going to go as far as that, Andy. But yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This team right now stinks. And Frank Reich, who you are right, has been there since 2018. I'm not asking to go win a Super Bowl right now. But to not be able to go to Jacksonville and win a game, one game, is a complete and utter disgrace. And just that alone is why he should be fired. Like, I tease Hickey all the time that we need to see the Colts eventually go from good to great. They have gotten farther away from where they were at good. They've taken 10 steps back. They're now bad. Not even close to being great. And this coach that Hickey keeps on preaching patience, patience, patience about, man, they've regressed. You can't beat the Jaguars. You got to tie up against the Texans. Hey, Hickey, though, I'm very happy for you, though. At least you went to Auburn and you got a little love there and Penn State won. Because if not, I think you would have called out. More Colts phone calls next. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.